The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon to the saints and servants of the Most High God. I'm glad to be with you again, teaching the Word of God, which is my favorite thing to do, and I hope it's your favorite thing to do to learn also. We're getting really close to the spring Moedim appointments. That means appointments of God. That would include Passover and unleavened bread, barley first fruits, and wheat first fruits. And so they're coming up on us real soon, and they've had significant fulfillment in the past. By Yeshua, that's what they're all about. They're all has fulfillment through Yeshua. But I always wonder what else is going to happen every time, every year rolls around, if something major is going to happen on these Moedims. But we'll be talking about those Moedims, but we want to also continue now with what we've been talking about, the comparison between Joseph of the Old Testament, of the son of Jacob, and Jesus. And so we've been going through the comparative scriptures showing how Joseph definitely was a typology of our Messiah, Yeshua himself. So we're going to continue with that concept, and we'll talk about, we'll pick up where we left off. Joseph sought the welfare of his brothers in Genesis 37:14. And Jesus came not to condemn, but that the world might be saved through him, John 3:17. So we learned those things that, they both had in mind the brothers, to take care of the brothers and had concern about the welfare. Joseph became a servant after the Midianites had bought him and sold him to Potiphar in Egypt. He became a servant, Genesis 39:1. And Jesus became a servant also, it tells us, in Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. So after they decided not to kill Joseph, and Judah convinced them to sell him to the Midianites. So they pulled Joseph out of the pit. They sold him to the Midianites. Then the Midianites took Joseph to Egypt and sold him to a man called Potiphar there in Egypt as a slave. And there Joseph began to serve Potiphar as a slave there in Egypt. It's really funny, too, how Joseph didn't fight, didn't try to run away. He just figured, well, God's in control. I'm going to let God do what he wants to do with me. And it says also that Joseph was a prosperous servant, Genesis 39:2-3. But Jesus was also a prosperous servant. We see in Isaiah 52:13-53:10. Joseph's master was well pleased with him, Genesis 39:4. The father was always pleased with Jesus, as we see in Matthew 3:17, John 8:29. So even as a servant slave, Joseph served his master well and did the best job that he could do. Well, there's a good lesson for all of us. No matter what our circumstance is, no matter where we're at and what we're doing, we need to learn to serve God well. These things are important. And whatever we do for the Lord, do it well. That's the idea. And Joseph was a good example of that. Here he was just threatened to be killed by his brothers, thrown into a pit, sold to Midianites that would come through there, taken into Egypt, then sold again to another man as a servant. And what was Joseph's mentality and his attitude? It was good. It was fine. He may not have liked the situation was in, but he wasn't going to fight against it. And sometimes that's what we got to learn to do too, as believers. We have got to learn to accept our, our fate in life sometimes with joy, and understand, that God's in control. As long as we keep looking at God, when we start turning away from looking at God, then sometimes our circumstances can overwhelm us. But we know that God is there with us all the time. Our circumstances is just a step, because he's before. And we never know that when we're under a test. We never know we're under a trial. You got to understand that. Sometimes we are under trials. God's going to see how we're going to respond. How are we going to respond? Are we going to have a temper tantrum? We're going to get mad and fight and curse and do things we shouldn't do because of our circumstances? Or is we going to pass our test? This life is a test. I don't know if you knew that or not, but this life is a test. And when this life is over with, we're going to answer to how well we did in our test. Back to the comparison here, Joseph the servant was made a blessing to others. We read that in Genesis 39:5. And Jesus was a blessing to the world, John 1:9. Joseph was a goodly person, Genesis 39:6. In other words, he was a righteous man. Jesus came as a servant into the world, and yet he led a goodly, perfect, sinless life, Hebrews 4, verse 15. Joseph was sorely tempted, but he did not sin. Genesis 39, verse 7 through 12. And so, if you remember that story, Potiphar's wife decided she liked Joseph and tried to convince Joseph to go to bed with her. And Joseph absolutely refused and tried to run away from Potiphar's wife. And she reached up to grab him to make him submit to her. And she ended up pulling some of his clothes off of him. And so then when she was all mad then she just turned around and told her husband that Joseph tried to push his intentions on her, when it was the opposite. She was pushing her intentions on him, and he tried to run away. And then she presented his garment to the Potiphar and said, "See, he left us behind." Joseph was tempted, but he did not sin. Jesus was also tempted, and he did not sin. Remember his temptations in the wilderness, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and Hebrews 2, 18, and Hebrews 4, 15. These are all things that Jesus showed that he could be tempted and not sin. Then Joseph was falsely accused in Genesis 39, 16 through 18, trying to explain his, and actually Joseph didn't even talk about how he tried. He turned and said that he didn't say Potiphar's wife was lying. He didn't try and say that that's not true and arguing. He was just falsely accused. And Jesus was also falsely accused in Matthew 16, verse 59 and 60. And he did not fight back. He did not fight back at all. Remember where Jesus said he's going, that he destroyed this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And so that's what they tried to hold on him in his trial. Joseph attempted no defense, Genesis 39, verse 19. Jesus gave no defense at his trials, Isaiah 53, 7. And so, Jesus did not offer a defense because he knew he came to die. He knew he came to be atonement for the world, so he offered no defense. Makes you wonder, why Joseph didn't offer any defense either. Maybe he knew that God had a hold of him and God had a purpose for him, and his trust was so strong in God, he did not even offer a defense. Joseph was cast into prison because of that, although he was innocent, Genesis 39:20. Jesus was sentenced to die, though Pilate found no fault in him at all, John 19, verses 4 and 6. Joseph suffered at the hands of the Gentiles, first by his brethren, then by the Gentiles. Jesus was sold by his brethren, then suffered at the hands of the Gentiles, which were the Romans. Joseph, the innocent one, suffered severely, Psalms 105, verse 17 and 18. His feet were hurt with fetters, he was laid in irons, until Pharaoh came and set him free one day. And so yeah, Joseph suffered. He definitely suffered. I can't imagine what a prison in Egypt would be like. There certainly was not a resort of any sort. So he suffered. So even though this young man was innocent and loved the Lord and the Lord loved him, yet he spent his time suffering also. So this is what the scripture says, you know. Jesus said, because the world hates me, it will hate you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So sometimes we do suffer. And we do suffer, and we try to do what we can to eliminate the suffering. But, you know, understand that sometimes it is a trial. Sometimes it is a test for us. And we just trust in the Lord and pray to him and talk to him and see what he does for us. Yeah, so Joseph suffered severely, but Jesus, the innocent one, also suffered severely by horrible means of crucifixion. Joseph won the favor of the jailer, Genesis 39:21. And Jesus won respect of the Roman centurion standing at the cross, Luke 23:47, who said, certainly this was a righteous man. So the Roman centurion called Jesus righteous, and Joseph won respect of the jailer. Why did Joseph win respect of the jailer? Because Joseph didn't fight, he didn't complain, he didn't, you know, do like a lot of prisoners do today when they're jailed. They don't want to be there. Joseph just accepted his lot, did a good job, and could be trusted in the jail. And the jailer liked Joseph as a result of that. And, of course, Jesus won respect to the Roman centurion because the centurion saw what happened and heard what he said. You know, it said, Father, forgive them. You know, and all these things that centurion was watching, that Jesus wasn't on the cross complaining and cursing and threatening or nothing else. Jesus went to his death because he knew that's what he had to do. Jesus came to this earth to die. He says, I lay my own life down, he said. There was a purpose. Jesus was serving a purpose to come and die that we might have life. Joseph may have thought the same thing. He knew he had a purpose. He knew that he had to do something. He had a close relationship with the Father, and he knew no matter what was happening to him now, the Father had a hold of the situation at all times, and that was important to know. Joseph was numbered with the transgressors. Remember the baker and the butler? Genesis 40:1-3. The baker and the butler were both condemned to die in prison. And of course, we learn that also about Jesus in Isaiah 53:12 and also Mark 15:28, that he was numbered with the transgressors, and that would be the two thieves that were on the cross by him. Joseph was a means of a blessing to one, that would be the butler. Both the butler and the baker had dreams and told Joseph about them. And Joseph gave the interpretation of the dreams, each one. One of them was a good interpretation, the other one was not. But he pronounced the judgment on the baker, Genesis 40:16-19. And Jesus pronounced a blessing to one of the thieves that was crucified with him, and judgment on the other, Luke 23:43. That's amazing. Now, both were numbered with transgressors, two transgressors, and one was given, told about eternal life, and the other one was not. And one would talk about with Joseph, one would die, and the other would not. So, very interesting comparison there. Joseph evidenced his knowledge of the future and gave credit to God. When he had these dreams, not only interpretation of the dreams of the butler and the baker, he also had dreams that he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams of fat and lean cattle that were coming to Egypt. And even Yeshua, even Joseph said, the interpretation belongs to God in Genesis 40:8. And Jesus did the same on earth in John 12, verse 49. He says, I will say what God tells me. Joseph desired to be remembered by the butler, Genesis 4, 14. Jesus said to his disciples, do this in remembrance of me, Luke 22, verse 19. Both wanted to be remembered. Joseph was put in prison, but God did not allow him to remain there because God's purpose for Joseph had not been fulfilled. Jesus was put in a tomb. God did not allow him to remain there, Acts 2, verse 24. Joseph changed his prison clothes for clothes of glory, as did Jesus Christ, as you can read in Revelation 1, verses 13 and 14. Joseph was delivered from prison by the hand of God because of the dream that God sent Pharaoh. And then the butler remembered that Joseph can interpret dreams and said, there's a man in prison that can interpret dreams. And so that's when Pharaoh had Joseph taken out of prison. You read this in Genesis 41, verse 15 and 41. And Joseph's testimony in Genesis 45, 7 through 9. God raised Jesus from the tomb in Acts 2, 32 and Acts 10, verse 40. Joseph was seen as a revealer of secrets. Compare Genesis 41, 16 with the words of Jesus in John 17, 8, John 8, verse 28, and John 12, verse 49. And then compare Genesis 21, 25 with God's revealing what he would do through Jesus Christ in Revelation 1, 1. Joseph warned of a coming danger and urged his hearers to make suitable provisions to meet it. Genesis 41, 33 through 36, Jesus warned his hearers that death did not end all, but there was life beyond the grave, that one should prepare for it now. Jesus also told us, particularly in Matthew 24, about the last days that were to come and to prepare for it also. Joseph was portrayed as a wonderful counselor, giving wisdom to Pharaoh. Genesis 41, verses 33 through 36. Christ is known as the one in whom all are hid, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2, 3. So Joseph became a wonderful counselor for Pharaoh, but Jesus is known as the one, all wisdom and knowledge is hidden in him. So we see these comparisons here between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph's counsel commended itself to Pharaoh and his officers, Genesis 41, verses 37 through 39, and said, can we find one such as this that Pharaoh said about Joseph? As did Jesus' teachings while he walked on the earth, Matthew 7, verses 28 through 29, and also Matthew 13, verse 54, and compare John 7, 46, said that never a man spoke like this before, that the officers of the chief priests had sent them after him, and they come back and said, never has a man spoken like this before. Joseph was exalted and set over all of Egypt, Genesis 41, 39 to 40. God highly exalted Jesus. You can see that in 1 Peter 3, 22 and Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Joseph was seated on the throne of another, second in command, next to Pharaoh. Jesus sits on the throne of the Father, at the right hand of the Father. Joseph was exalted to the throne because of his personal worth. Jesus was highly exalted for his personal worth. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 9. Wow. Joseph's authority and glory were publicly owned, so Pharaoh rode around in the chariot with Joseph and proclaimed to everybody Joseph's authority and glory. So Joseph was crowned with glory and honor. But now we also know that Jesus was the same thing. He is clothed with glory and honor. Joseph received a new name from Pharaoh, a name that meant the treasury of the glorious rest. Genesis 41, verse 45. God gave Jesus a new name in Philippians 2, 9 and 10, Matthew 1, 21, and Acts 5, verse 31. It's also said, if we learn to overcome, we will also get a new name. Jesus was the name given to him at birth. His name means Savior. But Jesus could not save his people from their sins until after his death, burial, and resurrection. Joseph did not become his people's Savior till after his so-called death, burial, and resurrection because of the pit and being a slave. But that became also known as the rest. So Joseph had his rest. We will have our rest. As a name that was given Joseph, Treasury of the Glorious Rest. We will have a glorious rest through the name of Jesus. Joseph was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Genesis 41, verse 46. Jesus was 30 when he began his ministry. Luke 3, verse 23. Wow. And there are tough times coming. You know, Joseph kept telling Pharaoh, you know, that there are going to be times of plenty, 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. Well, the Lord has also told us, you know, the same kind of concepts that are coming, that we have to prepare what times of plenty, and that we can be prepared when the hard times of the tribulation come upon the world. Joseph alone was seen as dispersing bread to a perishing world, Genesis 41, verse 55. Jesus is the one who disperses the bread of life, Acts 4, verse 12. And so because of Jesus, we have the bread of life. Joseph became a Savior to all people in Genesis 41, verses 57 and 54. Jesus is a Savior to all people in John 3:16, Revelation 5:9. Joseph had unlimited resources to meet the needs of all the people in Genesis 41, verse 49. And we read about the riches of Christ's grace in Ephesians 1:7, 2:7, 2:4, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Ephesians 3:8, Colossians 2:9, and Romans 10:12. Unsearchable riches of Christ, as they said. The riches of his grace. So if you have the Messiah, you are rich. Very important to understand that. You have the Messiah, you are rich. Because everything he has will be yours one day. If you overcome and you seek his face and walk in him. Joseph was unknown and unrecognized by his brethren when they came back in Genesis 42, 6 and 8. When Jacob's family had been driven out of Canaan because of a famine, they came to Egypt to buy bread. And they came to Joseph to buy the bread, yet they did not recognize Joseph. Joseph saw and knew his brothers, Genesis 42, verse 7. Jesus' eye is on the Jews even today in Jeremiah 16, 17, Hosea 5, 3. Joseph's brothers were put in prison for 3 days. Joseph punished his brethren, Genesis 42, verse 7 and 17. God is dealing harshly with Jews today in Hosea 9, verse 17, and Matthew 23, verses 35 through 36 and 38 through 39. Wow. And even Joseph made provision for his brethren while they were in a strange land. So even today, God provides for the Jews while they were scattered around the world by the Romans. In Ezekiel 11, 16, he says, I'll be like a little sanctuary to them, although they're scattered around the world. So God still watches after the Jewish people, even the day after they've been scattered. They've not been totally forgotten, but there's a day coming. In Zechariah 12, 10, they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. Then God will once again remarry Israel and take them into their bosom. And he will be their Savior and he will be their Messiah. These are all the plans of God. And you can see all these plans through Joseph himself. So praise God, folks. We're winding it down. We're coming down into this week also. I know there was a lot of scriptures. I know there was a lot to be said there. But it's important that we understand God's plan. And how he used even Joseph, Jacob's son, to show us what he was going to do with his son, Jesus. So God bless everybody. You have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week.
for such a time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.